intercessor. You're always the deliverer. You're always the healer. You're always the good father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You may be seated and go to your class. Thank you, Lord. Woo, glory. That was good. Let's go to Psalm 127, verse 1. You know what? Don't go there. I'll go there. Y'all go over to Luke 126. I'll just read these to you, and you can pick up what we're talking about here, okay? All right, this is Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Now here's Jeremiah 29:11, and y'all know it well. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I know the plans. That's what God's saying. I know the plans. I know the plans, and they're thoughts of shalom, wholeness, hope in the final outcome. So, you know, we see in that first scripture that God has to do it. If you're going to build a church, going to build a house, going to build a business, going to build a relationship, God has to do it. He has to be the main thing in it. And so the Christmas season is really a good time to think about destiny. And we always study Jesus' destiny at this time, obviously, and how he was born for certain things. And you know, the book of Matthew says, it's constantly using these words. This was done that it might be fulfilled. Remember that? They're always saying that because Jesus is fulfilling a destiny that God has laid out for him. And so he had that destiny. And within that destiny and within your destiny is purpose. And then within purpose comes callings, dreams, visions, goals. And then there's something that we know. There are patterns. God deals with you in a certain pattern, and he deals with me in a certain pattern. Yeah. If he's going to do something pretty big, he may tell me 36 months ahead of time. Yeah. That's how he deals with me. We're going to go this way. We're going to do this. With you, he may tell you we're going to do this tomorrow. Well, however he deals with you, and there's certain ways he lays out and certain, how should I say, he explains it to you or flows with you in different ways where you know you're on the right path. You can follow him. So with purpose comes callings, dreams, visions, goals, then these patterns. So we all know that Mary had a destiny, and her destiny was to bring forth the Messiah. And so as we read her story, we see a pattern. And everything is brought forth, and we all use and can use this same pattern to fulfill our dreams. Yes, it is. This is the traditional teaching how to give birth to your God-given dream. And I preach this to you every year, but this year we're going to do this, how to give birth to your God-given dream unabridged. And so this is going to be a little thicker. So we're going to have part one tonight and part two on Sunday. So this is going to be not just the 5 points. Yeah. I'm going to give you a little head start on this and run something up in front of it. And so I think you'll enjoy it. So let's look at just Luke 126, and we'll read all the way through what we usually do. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was surprised at his saying and cast her mind at what manner of salutation this should be. Remember, we said she wasn't afraid. She was surprised, and she didn't understand someone talking to her like that, because men didn't talk to women like that, just in everyday setting. Of course, she knew he was an angel, but it was still odd to her. So the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. You know, I found out that when angels say that to people, people calm down. If you read all the other times, they were like, oh, okay, I'm okay. Okay, so, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over all the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered her and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So what do we see? Mary took the God plan. She took the God plan. Now, this originally, what we've done every year, and I look back, I've been doing this since 2004. And so this is where we'd take off and say, number one, get baptized in the Holy Spirit and always listen to him. But we're going to back up tonight. And we're going to go a little thicker on these things. So there's a saying from Brother Hagin that I've held on to. I've kept it in my heart all these years. And it's this phrase, and just about everyone in here is going to know it. Everyone watching, you'll probably know this. Days of preparation are never wasted. True. Days of preparation are never wasted. So as you're headed to the fulfilling that for the God-given destiny of your life, there's always, and there's going to be ways that you need to prepare for what's ahead. And so there's things to learn. And you know, every born-again Christian has a baby dream. You do. Yes, you do. Uh-huh. And so, but what you just don't want to get the dream, you know, Gabriel show up and tell you what the dream is, or the Holy Ghost drop it in your heart, or yeah, spiritual authority helps you recognize what it is. You don't want to just get it and then go, okay, thank you, and run off and try to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's not going to work, or it's not going to work good. And so, and then, you know, remember, with destiny is the purpose. I'm going to say this again, with purposes, dreams, visions, and goals, and then the pattern. So all these things, you need to get prepared in life so that you can begin to pick up all these things. You may be sitting here and you may have thought, I don't really know the pattern that God works with me. Well, you can, and it's about days of preparation. You get used to being in relationship. Don't you have people that you know what they're going to do? You know, when something happens, you know exactly what they're going to do. It's, you just know them. Well, that's how it can be with God. So, and listen, also on top of this, there are anointings. There's anointings to help you accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. So it takes time to get all this in place, and it doesn't have to take a long time though. It just has to take some of your time. So you don't have to, I don't have to hear from you in 2036. I'm still waiting on the Lord. No, it's going to be dependent on how much time you want to give God. How much time do you want to take renewing your mind?
Yeah.
Hey, just a little quick itty bitty side trail. I was listening to Caroline Leaf.
Yeah.
Okay. And she reminded me of this, and this will help every one of us. She said, your mind can help fix your brain. We're the mind of Christ. So your brain's not in charge of you. Old people. Or young people who get off on, you know, feeling psychosomatic or anything else. Your mind, you can get hold of your mind. And you can actually leave here and do these things. You don't have to just go, well, that was good, but I just never can seem to get around to it. Now you can actually do what God tells you to do. And getting your mind right, which Pastor Nancy helps you with that, doesn't she? And of course the Word will. Okay, now, so there's things that we need to realize, and there are certain things that changes that you make along the way. There are certain revelations you get along the way, but here's something you need to know. You cannot pawn, P-A-W-N, your God-given dream for the American dream. I don't know if you like that or not, but I'm telling you the truth. You're not after the American dream. You're after the God-given dream. Are they similar? They can be, but they are different. So here's the thing. You cannot allow your eternal priorities to be subjugated under your temporal responsibilities. Did you hear me? You cannot allow your eternal priorities to be subjugated under your temporal responsibilities. We need to meet our God-given goals. Our God-given goals. What goal did He give to you? Life's not just about climbing the ladder. It's about doing God's will. Amen. Some people think that. Praise the Lord. So, you know, you can wander around the wilderness for years, and then you can grab your ladder of success and lean it up on the walls of Jericho and see what you can do. Hmm. Or you could get the plan. Yeah. March around it and take the whole thing down. Yeah. That's a whole lot easier, isn't it? Yeah. Or you can just, you know, be so about yourself. I got my ladder of success. I'm going after it. And that wall won't go anywhere. You'll just climb over it, but you could get the whole thing. You know, that's good right there, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I like that. So, you know, we're called to circle Jericho. That's what they did. You circle it. And I'm going to be doing some teaching about that pretty soon, about circling things. And it's going to bring some new meaning to you. Use the power that's been given to you. Use the God-given power. So this would mean that we would follow the lead of the Spirit then. That's simple. And it would mean then that, hey, we have to pray. We have to pray. We want to pray. And then we obey. And that means that you can't just manhandle everything. You have to listen to the Lord. With the right strategy, you're going to circle Jericho and bring down the walls. You could do that in a week, because I know somebody who did. The Israelites did. Or you can go ahead and take the next 30 years. Or you could go ahead and take some Holy Ghost shortcuts. But it's going to be what time you want to put into it. And if you'll go with the God plan instead of what you want to do. I mean, how many would say, would you just say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to go your way. I'm going to tell you something, church. I've tried it my way. I'm just like, okay, God. We're just going to do everything you want to do because it's so much easier. It is so much easier. Now, here's the truth for you. God doesn't like vague prayers. And so I want to challenge you to do this. Personalize that question that was posed to those two blind men in Jericho. Not at the time when Jericho fell. When Jesus was walking through Jericho, you know. Okay, so there are two blind men and they hollered out. Well, personalize this. This is what Jesus asked them. He said, what do you want me to do for you? So right now, Deb Field, God is asking, what do you want me to do for you? Claudia, what do you want me to do for you? Rachel, what do you want me to do for you? Margaret, what do you want me to do? That's what God is doing right now. He's saying, remember what Jesse's preaching right now? Give God a job. Yep. What do you want? Because you praise the Lord. It's just so much easier to live that way, but you personalize that. So it's good to not only pray, but also then keep a prayer journal. Write down what God said, and then you can follow through and go back and remember, oh, you said this to me. Oh, yeah, I'm going to pray about this. You know, get a prophecy, write it down. And I know some of you do that, and that is really a very good thing. So define your dream. Claim your promise, but listen, spell out your miracle. Spell out, well, what do I mean by that? Well, first of all, you can't define your dream without prayer. Prayer, because prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is God talking to you. So you got to get with Him and do some communication. You may say, well, I don't know. I don't know that I'm hearing Him right. Well, that's what the Word is for. See, the Holy Spirit needs the Word. You feel Holy Spirit just like you feel your spirit. You connect with the Word, and Holy Spirit, you'll begin to hear the voice of God because you begin to know the voice of God through the Word of God. And so pray the Word, and then a major way He's going to even just talk to you is through the Word. I learned a long time ago this Bible could just be my friend, and I could look in here, and I've read some scriptures that just spoke to me right away, and I went, well, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Yeah. Exactly what I'm looking for today. It came to me like it was just prophetic off the page. Mm-hmm. And so when you're getting to know the voice of God, church, it's important that the Word of God can witness to what you're hearing. Because a lot of people get flaky right here. You get real flaky. Well, the Lord said. Well, the Lord said. A lot of times that's the Lord is speaking when people get offended and leave. Yeah. The Lord told me to go. I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, your offense moved you out. You know,
yeah.
We've seen that. Or the Lord wants me to do this. Or the Lord wants me to marry Brother Copeland, so I know that Gloria, he'll have to divorce Gloria, so it can, you know, I mean, people said stuff like that, remember, in the old days? I mean, this silly stuff. But, you know, they start imagining these things, right? But you gotta stay true to the Word. You gotta listen to the Word. What does the Word say? Okay, so, I often just tell the Lord, I want a word on that, Lord. He said something to me 2 days ago, and I'm like, I want a word on that, Lord. I want something I can stand on. I believe it. I hear it in my terminology, but I want to hear you say it out of the Word. And so you go and you look in the Word. Now, so because of the emotional thing and our emotional reactions, yeah, instead of responding to things, sometimes we just emotionally react. Or we like something.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I was a teenager and growing up, I liked a lot of boys. But I wasn't supposed to marry all of them. I might have been supposed to marry that very first one. But come to think of it. But the truth is, we'll talk about it another time. But, you know, I mean, I got marriage proposals. A lot of them, actually. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you I did. But that didn't mean I was supposed to marry everybody. I needed to marry who God wanted me to marry. I could really like them, and some of them were really cute and wonderful and cowboys and all kinds of stuff. But that didn't mean I was supposed to marry all of them. Uh-uh. I really like going. So I had this bright idea. I was just going to serve Pastor John all my life with Pastor John and Ann. And so we actually moved away from here in the middle of planning this church. 5 years into it, we moved away. And we said, you know, we picked some people out that we thought were going to take this thing over. But you know, that wasn't God's plan. And He brought us right back here. Then we decided we were going to sail Springgate and move over to Horseshoe Bay. So we did. And lo and behold, we got packed back up and got moved back out there because we missed God. So I don't want to do that anymore. I just want to go God's way. Are you going to miss it sometime? Sure. But learn not to just do things because you're tired or you're emotionally tired or you're just fed up. Just learn to just follow God. So that was free. We'll move on along here. Now, so define the dream, circle the promises that'll bring the dream to pass. Circle the promises. Get in the Word and start circling the promises and stand on those promises. This is what you're going to have. Now, and spell it out. If you're sick, then the spelling is healing.
Yes.
But then move in and get some scripture on it that spells it out even better. So like if you have lack, you could spell out prosperity, but you could put a specific number, dollar amount on that. Or you could call out a specific zip code where you want to buy land or something. You could get specific about these things. God's saying, what do you want me to do? Let's get together on this. I'll tell you what I want you to do. You tell me what you want to do. They're going to match up, church. If you'll do it, if you're willing to do it. But you have to be specific about these things. And so then you get your promise and you circle it. Now, so they circled Jericho. You circle the promises and pray the circle promises that you desire. That's easy, isn't it? That's something we all know. Now, let's go back for just a moment. In the days of preparation, you need to define success. Because you may have an image, but what image does God give you when you're defining it? Because some people, I was talking to Danny about this today, some people, their view of success is, you know, fame and fortune. And then, you know, if you seek success because you're trying to prove to everybody how wonderful you are. Now, see, you are like, what? Oh, honey, a lot of people are still trying to prove to themselves that they have value and try to prove to everybody, I really am good, I really am talented, I really am great. But that's not really necessary. And so that's not really, just if you got famous, that doesn't necessarily mean you're successful at all. If everybody just loves you, that doesn't mean you're successful. I told Danny, I said, I think one of the major things for success for me is that the people that I'm the closest to would believe that I'm a person of integrity. Amen. That you would really know me, and you would say, that's a woman of integrity. Amen. That's, I think that's success. And so it just depends on things. Now that doesn't mean fame and fortune are wrong, but I tell you what, if you're going to get into fame and fortune, you better really rely on God, because it could cause you a lot of trouble. So, you know, if you don't have a personal definition of success, then chances are, you'll get it wrong. So you need to really go to God and sit down and think, what really is success? What do my children think about me? What will my grandchildren think about me? What do my church friends think about me? What, you know, and listen, you people gossip and say things about you because that's how it is out in the natural world. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who really are integrity people, how they feel about you. Because there's a whole world out there saying all kinds of things. And they don't even know you and they could be saying things. So it's not about that. But it would actually be about, you know, what's Carter going to say? What's he going to remember about Gran? She was a woman of God. She's a woman of prayer. Is he going to say that or is he going to go, oh, Gran, she was a stinker, you know? I don't want that. I want him to say, that's my grandmother and she was a blessing. I want to hear that. I want to know you think that about me. I want you to think that would be success to me. And there's a number of other things. I want to know that I've done well done, good and faithful servant, that I've preached the way God wants me to. I've led the way God wants me to. I've stayed in the place God wanted me to stay in. All those kind of things. That's certainly success. I'm just trying to stir you up into thinking about what you need to think about. And it could be very different from me, but you need to find your definition of success. And listen, did you know that God is fully aware of your gifts? And your callings and your strengths and your talents. He's fully aware of all that. But here's the thing, church. He's also fully aware of your progress and your character. And character is a major place when it comes to success. What's your character like? And so, besides, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out how your faithfulness level is. In fact, I can tell it to you real easy in two things. Y'all want to know? Yeah. Okay. Take a look at someone's church attendance and their checkbook. And you will find out how committed to God they are. Yeah. Right there. If you look at those two things, you'll see how committed to God they are. Character will begin to show very quickly when you start looking right there. Well, I would give, but I got to do this or... And yeah, see, always an excuse. But if God's first, you're going to find out in what they're giving, what they're tithing, what they're saying, how they're loving people. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm preaching better than you are saying amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, listen, I'm going to tell you this. 95% of the people who are not where they want to be, they're probably dealing with character. Probably dealing with character. So something we need to ask God about. How's that character? What's the character shaping up like? What are we looking at? I was telling some couple people, I was bragging on Jesse Hernandez. I love that man, and he's a self-corrector. Every time I've talked to him or ministered to him about something, he'll go ahead and already tell me, you know, I know better. I could do this. Or he'll ask me, is this, and he'll make the correction. But that shows character. So I stand up for him anytime because I see that integrity right there. And I've always appreciated, you know. So does Jesse do everything perfect? No, he's just like the rest of us. But he corrects when he needs to. And he cares. He actually cares. Man, if he thinks something's going wrong, he'll come say, do we need to? I feel responsible. He has this responsible thing about him, doesn't he? He has this thing about he's responsible. And when you see people who are responsible, then and they're responsible, some people are like, I don't care, y'all figure it out. You know. So, you know, John doesn't work for the church on Fridays. But if something goes wrong here, he says, I'll go on up there. Yeah. That's responsibility. Yeah. See, he's not just thinking of it as a job. Yeah. It's his ministry. Right. I'll problem solve. I'll help. That's a man of integrity. Amen. Now, y'all figure it out how to do it. I'm going to sleep late tomorrow. No. He's like, no, I'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Just let me. I'll handle it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm grateful for y'all. Glory to God. So, you know, it's that character thing. So I just remind you that days of preparation are never wasted, and success is authentic integrity. Authentic integrity. So Jericho wasn't conquered by some brilliant military strategy or brute force. They learned to let the Lord fight their battles. Things don't always happen in a planning meeting. They happen in a prayer meeting. And man, I'm going to tell you, that's happened in thermostats over and over and over. Things came out in the meeting, and some of it I wanted to try to put back in my mouth of things that we needed to do. The Lord came out. It's probably going on a year now about the studio. You need to build a studio. Y'all probably were listening and heard that. So we've been praying about it, but it's kind of just been simmering, you know. And so we're thinking about how we're going to do that. We talked to Brother David about that and stuff. But, so, when he starts praying like that, I'm stuck. I just have to do it once it comes out my mouth. So, but that's where most dreams are about. You'd be surprised if you just get down and start praying, things will start coming out. God will just start prophesying through you and you'll go, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. Amen. And you know, God'll find stuff for you and things for you that you're looking for, and he'll bring them into your life. Jesse was talking about wanting a mini donkey, you know. Okay, so I've been praying about that because I know they've got the Molly and they've got the mules and everything. So it's, and Poncho, yeah, you need Lefty. So I was just praying about that, and lo and behold, I was walking out of Chili's yesterday, and this kid that used to come to church with us said, Roxanne and Deb. And we turned around, went back and hugged and had fun. What are you doing these days, Justin? Just started talking to him and everything. He says, I sell mini donkeys. Oh. I said, give me your phone number. I need to know it. Yeah. And I mean, he's in the breeding game and everything. And they're so cute. Sorry, Larry, but you know. But so that, what happened? Connections. Yeah, just because we prayed about it. Because God loves Jesse.
That's right.
You know? But I always take that kind of stuff on. Whatever you're looking for, I'm looking for it with you. If I see a good house, I'll contact several of y'all. Have y'all looked at this? Have y'all looked at that? Did you see this? Did you see that? I just always do that because that's what we do, right? Well, that's what God's doing. That's what God is doing. Amen. All right. So, praise the Lord. They learned to, Israel learned to let God fight their battles and it happens in the prayer closet. So, before Gabriel ever showed up, Mary was prepared. Okay? So we didn't think about that all our lives because we didn't know history until people started digging around. You can read some Josephus and stuff like that, but a lot of times people don't know it. But Mary went to temple school. That movie that came out is actually right. I don't know that they left her there because I'm not sure that Jehoiakim and Anna actually lived out in Nazareth, maybe, but they might have lived in Jerusalem. We'll have to dig that out and see. But she did go to temple school. Well, so what's going on? Oh, and by the way, her parents were big time into God. Big time into God. Days of preparation. So Mary's not just standing there and one day goes, oh, that's an angel. This is a God thing. No, she knew about God. She'd been in the temple. She'd been learning. She knew what, she'd heard the word of God. She'd heard the Torah. She knows what's going on. And so she wasn't just left somebody, some little character that God picked out. She was groomed. Can I tell you that God is grooming you for something? He's grooming you for something. And days of preparation are never, ever wasted. So, you know, I think being a success has more to do with character than gaining fame, than gaining fortune. Like I said, nothing wrong with that, but it's worthless without character. And so she's getting enough character. Listen, you're going to need some character if you turn up pregnant without a husband in those days. These days, everybody like, well, it's okay. The baby daddy's out there somewhere. But nowadays, well, it's true. But nowadays, which, you know, we don't want that, of course. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying society's like that. God isn't. But she needed some character to have to face all this stuff. That's tough. So we need some character to face whatever the enemy would try to throw at us while we're trying to build God's dream in our lives. Amen. It takes character. It takes not backing up. It takes not quitting. And it takes not just focusing on yourself, but focusing on God and His will. Amen. So nothing wrong with the other stuff, but it's worthless without character. Wisdom together with a heritage is good and a profit to those who see the sun. Ecclesiastes 7:11. That's a great scripture. So during this Christmas season, I just believe, church, that it is my assignment to prepare you for your greatest victories, your greatest success, accomplishments that you've ever had, ever. And I'm telling you, God's on the scene. And, you know, with the Christmas story, you can actually pull out the steps and see them. You can actually do that. And so that would be what we can do here. But you have to make the main thing the main thing. You got to get prepared for that. And you got to decide you want to. Well, it's always been my dream. Well, now, wait a minute. Because there might be something even better. Or God may have put that in you as a child. But you need to do it God's way. It needs to be His success. A lot of people don't like that because they're so in love with themselves, they want it to be them, but it's God. Amen. So, do you remember when God sent the quail for the Israelites in the desert? You know, He sent all the quail, a lot of quail, millions of quail. And, but before He did, He asked Moses a question. And the question was, is there a limit to my power? Is there a limit to my power? That's a good question. That's what God's asking us. Do you believe there's a limit to God's power? Well, we know the answer. There's no limit. God is the God of all universes. He can do anything. He could roll us into another day right now. He could rapture all of us out right now. He could make all of us with extra pounds skinny right now if He wanted to. Come, Lord Jesus. He could do whatever it is He wants to do right now. He could do it. He could change anything. Any people out there, He could change their mind for you. He could change a rule for you. He changed a rule for me and Deb a couple of nights ago. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. And so there's nothing too hard for Him. You know, I've talked to you about A.W. Tozer before. Y'all know who he is. He was a great preacher. He said this. He said, a low view of God is the cause of 100 lesser evils, but a high view of God is the solution to 10,000 temporal problems. 10,000, a high view of God. My God, your God can do anything. We set our hand to it, he'll fulfill it. He can do anything. Is anything too hard for him? But the question, he's asking you that question. Are you limiting his power? And what do you want him to do? What? Spell it out. Be specific. Well, I want world peace. Well, you're not going to get world peace because you don't have that much habitational authority. There are people, you're not going to change everybody's mind. But you can certainly rule up. You could pray for the people, but you can certainly use your authority in this town and around here and do what God needs for you to do. And you can use your authority for your life. And your children and your grandchildren and their spouses and on and out like that. And your animals, donkeys included. Amen. Your car, your bank account. And you don't have to wait 45 years to get debt free.
That's right.
See, just go, here comes debt freedom.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah.
See it? You see it coming? Here it comes. Okay. Here comes debt freedom.
Got it.
So I've been going down the road because Deb's getting a new car. So I've been going, here comes a new car. Here comes that new car. Here it comes. Here it comes. Here comes the miracle. If you need a miracle, here it comes. Here comes the miracle. Oh, here comes that relationship straightened out. Here it comes. Oh, here comes the court case dropped. Here it comes. Oh, here comes all the finances I need right now. Here it comes. Here comes my promotion. Here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. It's coming right to me because I've received it. So it's coming right to me because faith moves particles and particles are coming right to me right now. God can do it right now. I get all the clients I need. I get all the success I need. I get to do what I need to do and I will flow in this because God wants to know what he can do for me because I'm doing for him. That's as easy as it is, church. I'm telling you, I worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. Just laying in my bed. For years about the church. One day I got up and said, no, you do it. I'm done with it. And I've breezed through most of it, particularly financially. All kinds of things are paid off. We never have any lack. Everybody gets paid. The money goes out to all the other ministries. Money just kept flowing ever since I said, here.
Yep.
Now, we do our stewardship, understand? Yeah. We pray, we make decisions on who we give to, what we pay, what we would spend on something. We're good stewards.
Yeah.
We check out the finance to see if that is the right financial decision and stuff. We do all those things. But God always takes care of it. He always does. Amen. Our finances doubled when we started building church with the Hammonds. The accounts doubled. And the money's there for whatever God wants to do with it. And so when things come along, we say, do you want to do that? Is that what you want to do? What do you want to do now? We need to paint back here and do some other things back here. But I want the Lord to pull the trigger. So I'm starting to think about it and pray about it. I just want to do what he wants me to do when he wants it done. And so I'm always just flowing like that. And I know you do that too. Praise the Lord. So a low view of God is the cause of 100 lesser evils, but a high view of God is the solution to 10,000 temporal problems. So we need godly perspective concerning our challenges. It's hard to even dream when you're just trying to get out of something. If I could just get above water, if I could just make it work. I will say that, Lord. Church, come out of false prosperity. Your credit card is not your prosperity. If that's the only way you can do things, you're not doing it good enough. Certainly you can use them as a tool. There's nothing wrong with them. But they can't be your false prosperity. And you can't get buy a car that's so expensive that you can't pay for it and call it prosperity just because you want to look good in that car.
That's right.
But I tell you this, if you'll go with him, he'll trade up for you. He'll continue to trade up for you and trade up for you until you're living good. He will. He will. Just don't settle. Don't settle. Do it his way and you're going to flow. And you'll flow in the dream. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Last statement. I just have to ask you this question. Is there any limit to what God can do? Is there any limit? Mary just had to be prepared. She had to have a great perspective of her God to say, be it done unto me according to your word. Amen. Father, we thank you for those that are watching online. We bless them today. We thank you, Lord, that they have a great perspective of God. We thank you for increased integrity. We thank you for blessing their lives. Father, we thank you for healing their bodies, making their dreams come true this Christmas and on out into the next 8 years in Jesus' name. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Unabridged. Hey, I wanted to tell y'all, in case y'all want to get in on this. So, you know, I told you that I put my foot down about the thing going on with Deb and how my phone rang and it answered and everything. And in the second I used my authority, they called back and said, Miss Alexander. So the money's in the account. I saw it this morning. So, you know, we were trying to get her money from her car and her email wouldn't work. And so I'd had enough. So I just went after it with my high seat of authority. And while I'm doing it, the lady gets me on the phone. I'm going somewhere with this. I know y'all have heard this, but so I'm like, how much did she hear? I'm over here, you know, but that's okay. This is so-and-so. So my supervisor said we could go ahead and just send it to you. I told Deb, thank you for the money, Deb. That's great. No. But so anyway, it's in her account. She's going to do what she wants to with it. But here's the thing. What I want you to see is the key here, and I'm going to pass it on to you. At that moment when I did it, it happened. Now listen, just happened to Danny. Danny did the same thing.
Yeah.
Y'all probably heard about it. She was praying along. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden she says out of her mouth something they were dealing with, some kind of business deal or something. And she said out of her mouth, it's done, it's done, it's done. She drives into her driveway. Bing! Miss Schaefer, it's going to go the way you want it to go. This is done, this is done, this is done.
Yeah.
That fast.
Yeah.
Take it.
Yes.
Take it. Take it right now. Because it's happening right now.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, that thing, maybe that one thing that's irritating or troubling or whatever it is. You know, Eldred said he wanted to go to heaven. So I went over there last Tuesday and agreed with him. And Eldred went to heaven. Quick. After he said it. I'm telling you, we're in that time right now. You better watch what you're saying. Because you're going to get it quick. You'll get it quick. Be solved. The situation will be solved. These are little irritating things that come up. Well, will you do this? No. This is our wonderful Christmas season. We're not having it. We're saying no. We're saying no. Amen. Father, we thank you for the tither and the giver. We ask you to bless in Jesus' name. We thank you for the anointing on their lives. And Father, we thank you for the financial flow in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. We bless you. We thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I praise you and give you glory. I thank you, Lord, that we know how to make decisions based on money. That we won't make decisions based on money because it'll always be wrong. We make decisions based on the anointing, and then money will flow like we need it to flow in Jesus' name. But here's the thing we need to say to you, Lord. Money never comes until you make a demand on it. So I demand money comes to the body of Christ in this room. You have enough for every gift, every travel, every bill, everything paid, and a nice fat savings account in the name of Jesus. Come on, brothers. You know you have to make a demand on it, don't you? If you're getting kingdom prosperity, you have to. I tell you, I would just tell the devil, what Brother Hagin used to say. He used to say, this is how you get it. And Sister Billy taught it to us. Mm-hmm. It's devil, take your hands off my finances.
Yep.
What's the rest of it? Y'all remember? Devil, take your hands off my finances. Angels, go out and get it. And what? What? There you go, right there. Claim it. Rejoice. Yeah. So say that you have it. Bind the devil. Send the angels to get it. See, you don't have to ask God for finances. No. No, he doesn't have any there. It's all here. He's not going to go, here, Roxy. No, that's not happening. It's here. Call it to you. James 5 said the wages are crying to you. If you've sown seed and you're a tither, you have a divine right to get those finances. A divine right. You have authority for it. It's yours. See, we just get too lazy about it. Make a demand. Make a demand. So add that to your prayer in the morning. I don't know. I just saw you right when I said that. I just saw you sitting behind your windshield going, in the name of Jesus, I demand my finances are loose to me.
Amen.
Almost all of us get up behind our car wheel every morning. You could just use that as a point of contact.
Yeah.
I demand. You're like, well, I don't want to, you know, I just don't want to treat God that way. Oh, honey. He said make a demand.
Yeah.
He's supplier. We're demand. He made us that way. As far as I know, Toby was always demand.
Yeah.
He's like, Mom, I'm not wearing those kind of shirts anymore. I want polo.
Yeah.
You know, what do you call those shirts he wore? Flannel shirts,
flannel,
you know?
Shirts, yeah.
So Bud's my ex-husband. Bud would say when Toby's grown up, he'd say, there's nothing wrong with those shirts. I could just wear those flannel shirts. So Toby would come get me in his court, see? Because he wants Tommy Hilfiger and polo. And I'm saying, no, he's going to wear what he wants to. He's going to wear the good stuff, you know. But that's what God wants, for you to wear the good stuff. Amen. Now, Bud liked the flannel shirts. It wasn't the price, really. But he just, you know, he was just thinking that way. But as far as I know, Toby knew how to make a demand on his mom. She'll get me the right one. And then his son's the same way. I'm going to ask Grand for this. Well, God's that way with us.
That's right.
Just ask him.
Yeah.
When you lay down tonight, in fact, let's do this.
Yeah.
Talk to him tonight and just something that would just kind of be a little sign.
Yeah.
Ask him for something tonight and watch it show up and come tell us.
Okay.
And don't do this. I want $100 million. You're not there.
Yeah.
Well, some of y'all might be. Might be a few in here. But just do one little thing, because that'll bring the breakthrough. Because he's asking you, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Amanda, I see Amanda going, I already know. I already know what I'm asking for. Thank you, Jesus. Another thing I want to tell you, the Lord spoke to me 2 days ago. Or was it yesterday? Yesterday, and said this, divine mobility.
Yes.
Divine mobility. And I took it.
Yeah.
And I took it from my body and travel.
Yeah.
Divine mobility. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. We're right on the clock. Thank you, Lord. I love this stuff. I love talking about destiny. God, because God will just do it. He loves to do it. He'll just do stuff for you. Well, he don't ever do anything for me. That's because you're a believer.
Wow.
Won't you just go ahead and believe it?
Yeah.
Go ahead and believe it and have us do it. Just, I believe I will.
Yeah.
Give me that cookie. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but